impossible to achieve.
Correct, correct.
Possible to
But
realize.
It doesn't mean that when they do that, they cannot become Sammasambuddha. It doesn't mean. It doesn't mean. Actually, what it means is because they choose that way to stay. So to them, that last life as a Sammasambuddha means you will be given that prediction and that choice. But that one, if you put the vow to delay it or block it, then it will continue to delay. But if they want to realize that, they can. But it doesn't mean that when they realize that, they cannot come back. Do you understand that? Because the Theravada thought, the Buddha in his description of the enlightenment, that no more birth or anything. But what they don't understand is, he will not come back as a Sammasambuddha anymore where that condition is finished. But his Sakyamuni Buddha's nature is still there. And if he wants to condition a form and mind to come back, he can. But not as a Sammasambuddha anymore. But that condition is once, it's only one time. One time. Then that nature that come back is just like any of the great Bodhisattva. That's why there is in the early day, a lot of argument about whether Sammasambuddha can come back or not. If Sammasambuddha cannot come back, then they always say it's a waste. And after that, the nature gone. No, the nature is still there. Whether they want to come back or not is their choice. That's why they can choose to come. But the timing, the affinity, all depend on that. But they will not come back as another Sammasambuddha. And that one, the condition, no more. We are, it is very strange. Once the prediction is said, means that life, that condition, it will manifest. And it's only given once. So what I try to explain to you is, like Tisa Wang Fusa and some of the other Bodhisattva, even Xuanhua, he have this vow that if his disciple or those who take refuge under him, any one of them didn't realize Sammasambuddhahood, he will not actually want that type of enlightenment to become the Sammasambuddha. He has that vow. That's why he always tell all those who take refuge under him, please diligently cultivate and become Sammasambuddha. Otherwise, ni tolita, you actually slow him down. But actually, it's a joke. Yeah, he know. So he purposely take that vow, just like Tishan Wang Fusa. And they know all this to them is no more meaning because they have the perfection, they completed it, they are ready. It's just like this, the future Buddha, Maitreya. He may be into Siddha heaven and all those things, but he already has the perfection, understand? And most of these great beings like Kuan Yin and all that, they already finished their perfection. So the timing of their last birth to become a Sammasambuddha depends on them. If they choose to have that vow, if they choose to come again and again, then the individual Bodhisattva will have a choice. So they will actually evolve their own understanding. And you, as a normal cultivator, you cannot comment on. Because a lot of people say, "Ayo, this type of vow impossible one is madness." That's why a lot of people, especially Theravada, comment on, what type of vow is it? The hell can never be empty of living being, which is true. So the reason for them to do it, a lot of people cannot understand because they already gone on this path until very, very far, and they know what this thing is. So to them, if they can renounce samsara, bohimai that renounce samsara, means they are near the end already. So they will surely have a prediction already. So all those things to them is a matter of choice, decision, which they themselves will know what to do. So try not to comment on all this. It will end up discussion become analysis, then analysis become reasoning, then misunderstanding. So most of the time we try to avoid all this type of thing. But for me, when I share, I just want to explain that part so that this argument or misunderstanding can be avoided. That's why I qualify it in the sharing. I say, please don't get me wrong. And don't go and quote me and create all these things. I try to explain all these things. But unless you understand, that's why I said, normally the Arahant and the Bodhisattva, they won't argue over this. They will know what this thing is. But the one who bring up for discussion and argument are the non-Arahant and the non-Bodhisattva. So these two, they like to argue because they take what they call their own label as something that they already commit to. They think they are Mahayana. The other one think they are Theravada. So they want to defend Theravada. You say something about the Arahant or the Theravada, still have selfishness, they want to argue or they want to make it right. Then the Mahayana, because the teaching all along teach in this way, except they use the word which is inappropriate. To me, it was translated wrongly as selfishness. It's not selfishness. Actually, it's like they don't have that heart to come for the living being. So, I think you know Mandarin, isn't it? You know what is zitu or not?
Yes, zitu, tu ta.
Means your own enlightenment. Whereas the Bodhisattva, they come for the living being. I don't know what the other word. Not only to they come for the living being. So in that sense, they say they have certain type of actually that word is not selfish. In Mandarin is I forgot what they use. You go and read, maybe you can help bring out the Mandarin word, which is more appropriate. It's from that word tsu tu, to kaki and to others. Because they say the Bodhisattva not only realize self-enlightenment, but they also have this vow to have the real universal love and compassion to bring across the limitless living beings and take them all across. So that vow is to actually cultivate until they have that wisdom to do that job, to actually save the limitless living being and take them all across. So it's not about self-enlightenment anymore. But it's nothing wrong to develop the self-enlightenment. So that part, I think, slowly people will come to understand. Then that topic of like trying to argue and defend each tradition become like no meaning. We don't have to actually do that. We are only people who believe they are Theravada or Mahayana has this problem. But the real thing is, as a cultivator, we are neither Theravada or Mahayana. That's why I always say I started with Theravada, but I never say I'm a Theravada Buddhist. I started with Theravada, yes, because I'm an English educator. I'm exposed to that one first. But my path is basically Mahayana. That's why when the time come, I understand both sides. Then both teaching, no problem. So it's not about the division. It's not about whether it's Mahayana or Theravada or even Vajrayana. It's the truth, the teaching. What we want to realize is the wisdom, the teaching. So the Dhamma is the ultimate truth, the ultimate teaching. So whatever that can teach the truth need not have a label. You need not call it Buddhism or subdivide into Theravada, Mahayana or Vajrayana. Your truth is truth. Truth is tatata. whatever they explain the way things are is the truth. That is Dhamma. So Dhamma is not monopolized by any teaching or any religion. Like the Buddha said, the Dhamma was there before he arrived. You remember this word, right? The Buddha mentioned. The Dhamma was there before he arrived. He only realized it after he has completed the perfection. Because Dhamma is the whole of the wisdom of the conditioned and the unconditioned. So that is Dhamma. That's why he used the word Sabbe Dhamma Anatta.